God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for tonight comes from Luke chapter 22, 7 through 20, as that was our gospel reading for tonight. We may know this as the time in which our Lord institutes the Lord's Supper, a time in which He and His disciples are celebrating the Passover. And probably after the second cup or after the third cup, He then breaks from the tradition of the Passover, something that was well scripted in their minds, and goes into the words of institution, as we commonly call them, where He takes the bread and says, "This is my body which is given for you," and takes the cup. "This cup that is poured out for you is the covenant of my blood." These words would have been startling to them, because ever since they could remember the disciples, that is, they would have had and etched in their mind the accounts of that first Passover, the exact wording, what they were going to be eating, what questions were going to be asked. It was all etched in their mind, and all of a sudden, Jesus now breaks from that and does something different. They probably were looking around, asking each other, going, "What's going on here? What is this all about?" Well, as we sort of use that as our introduction, I just want to break for a moment with that thought and just still keep it there for a moment. I have to go to the title of this message, "Are You Full Yet?" You see, when Jesus was doing this, it was during the Passover meal. It was a nice full meal, and afterwards they might have been fairly decently full. But now how about you? If you had a chance for dinner, then yes, you might be halfway decently full. If not, you may be thinking, "I'm sure that bread and wine we're going to be getting with the Lord's Supper is not going to fill my stomach." Well, I want to sort of hang on to this Passover event and this meal and just share with you at least one of my childhood memories. I don't know about if your family had any of those quirky family habits at the dinner table, but my family definitely did. I remember my great-grandmother would always chide my grandfather, saying, "You need to eat more and more." And he would always try to reply and saying, "You know, Grandma," to his mother, "I'm full." And to which her quick reply was, "What, don't you like my cooking?" No one was going to say no to great-grandma. So what would he do? Even on a full stomach, he would still finish more and more and more. Well, how many of us seem to be on some sort of diet? When was the last time we stuffed ourselves? Food is a very important item to us. So important, let me just ask you, when was the last time you skipped a meal? Now, I don't mean you had too much for snack and you were able to skip a meal. I mean, literally, just skipped a meal. Say you went 8 hours without eating. Let me just press it a little bit more. When was the last time you went 12 hours without eating? Or 18 hours, or 24 hours. I will admit, it's challenging. Having recently done it myself, it is very challenging to go a whole day, a 24-hour period, without eating anything. Now, what would happen if you had to go not just one day, but 2 days, 3 days, 4, 5, 6 days. What would happen if you only had one day to eat and take all your nourishment for the whole week? I don't know about you, but when I would get to that seventh day, I'd be starving, I'd be famished, I'd be wanting to fill myself as much as I possibly could. Now, what would happen if you led every week like that? You might be saying, "Pastor, this does not sound very pleasant." Now let me bring this into our text. How many of us go through our normal life spiritually fasting to only then receive God's word and that word connected with bread and wine once a week? Too often we do this on a regular basis, but yet we would never think about doing that with real food. But we'll get into our text and we'll remind ourselves, this is real food. And this is even better than real food. Because real food only satisfies the stomach. This food, the body and blood of Christ, in with and under the bread and wine, satisfies the soul. But we lose sight of that, and we constantly go on spiritual fasts, so to speak. Now you may be sitting there going, but Pastor, today's Thursday. We celebrated the sacrament on Sunday. It's Thursday. It's only been about 5 days or four, depending on how you want to count it. But this isn't the typical week. What happens after Easter? Do we not go back to our same routines? When was the last time we opened up God's Word and we feasted on the Word alone? We asked God for that strength in that Word. When was the last time we had a strong desire to really receive the sacrament? I know we do it at all our worship services. And by the way, we're even going to be doing it. We'll be celebrating the sacrament even tomorrow night on Good Friday. And you may be thinking, wow, 4 days in a row and celebrating the sacrament. Isn't that enough? And I have to ask you, well, how are you doing with satisfying the desire of your soul? Can you satisfy it? Let me just stop with that question. You see, too often in our own lives, we try to satisfy the desire of our soul, not necessarily with God's Word or His sacraments, but other toys, other type of trinkets. You know, we get a little down and out. We get a little depressed. And for some of us, including me from time to time, I like to buy things. Don't necessarily have time to go to the mall, so I buy things off of the internet. You know, things like books, little crazy things that pastors really like and enjoy. Well, how about the rest of us? Sometimes we satisfy those depressions by buying new type of toys for our lives. Sometimes we satisfy this type of depression by doing other things in our lives. But how many times do we go back to the source of our life, the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, the one who sanctified us, and say, Lord, give me that strength. Let me go back to your word, and Lord, fill me with that hope that only you provide. No, our sinful nature kicks in, and we desire the things of this world. And we would say, in order for me to be truly happy, I have certain conditions that need to be met. You know, only if this would occur, only if someone would do this, only if someone would do that. We may even say to God, God, only if you would give me a little bit more grace. But when was the last time we took that initiative? And we opened up God's Word, and we read it, and we feasted upon that Word. And when that Word is connected to bread and wine, something special happens. Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. And as Matthew's version reminds us, for the forgiveness of your sins. This is there to satisfy the desires of our soul. If I can just pick up from John chapter 6, verse 54, Jesus says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. We try to satisfy our soul with things around us, and what we're really doing is we're still starving ourselves. But if we satisfy our soul with the Word of God, especially when it's connected to bread and wine, we are now satisfied. We now have eternal life. And as Jesus says, we will be raised up on the last day. Now just think for a moment what's going through the disciples' mind. Why is Jesus doing this? The Lucan passage of this Lord's Supper account, Jesus says to them, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Isn't it interesting? Why? Why would Jesus want to earnestly desire to eat this Passover with us? Won't he be going to the cross the next day? Won't he be dying for the redemption of humanity and the forgiveness of our sins? Do we need more? Well, as far as our salvation is concerned, the answer is no. We like to call this justification. Am I justified before God? Am I a Christian? We just look to the cross. Believe and trust in that merit that Christ has earned for us. And yes, we are saved. But is there more in our lives? Well, let me ask you, when you came into church tonight, how was your soul doing? After a few days of not feasting upon God's Word, did it not ache? Did it not lack something? Didn't you sort of need a little bit more of a pick-me-up, so to speak? How often in our own lives do we feel sort of lost and wandering around, not having a clear purpose and direction? Do we need that little bit more? Yes, we are assured of our salvation through the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's a little bit more of tomorrow's message. But in our daily living, don't we need a little bit more? And God says, I will give you that grace. Why else would He earnestly desire to eat this Passover before He suffered? To put before the disciples in all of Christianity that when you connect God's Word with bread and wine, something special happens. We have the forgiveness of sins. We are strengthened in that faith. We are communing with the very body and blood of Christ, touching God Himself, so to speak. We just have to back off for a moment and think, wow, we must be really important to God to sit there and say, yes, I'm going to attach. When God's Word is attached to bread and wine, you have the body and blood of Christ in with and under that bread and wine. We are really important to God because not only has He given us His Spirit, who takes up residence in our heart, typically when we are baptized or when that word of gospel has worked that faith in our hearts, but now He gives us a little bit more, His very true body and blood as well. For He says, take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This is the cup of the new covenant of My blood. A new relationship has been formed. Why? Because we need it. Because we're spiritually starving. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to take on flesh and blood and to live among us and to go to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But now He even feeds us. So our very souls are nourished with that very same body and blood. From 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, the evangelist writes, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And from John chapter 6, verse 56, whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me and I in him. We have these beautiful connecting points. No wonder that Jesus says the number of hairs on our head are all numbered back in Matthew chapter 10. Because we are so important to Him. He doesn't want us starving. We are His dearly beloved children. He's going to feed us with His Word. He's going to feed us with His sacrament. It is a great honor that we are so important to God, that we are even fed His body and blood, that we will not die eternally in the grave, but will live because of this meal. We are now communing with this body and blood of Christ. Again, from John chapter 6, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. We remember that He is the bread of grace and mercy, in which we see that the Lord is good. So now what do? We've come to the Lord's table. We feast and we be fed with His very true body and blood of Christ. We come, as we said in the opening part of our liturgy, confessing our sins and looking to Him who gives us the strength. We come knowing that, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reminds us, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation of the body of Christ? We come knowing that, yes, we will be communing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come needing and lacking, our souls hungering, and we come to be fed. So I have a question. Are you full yet? Too often in our Christian life, we know these things. This shouldn't sound too new to us. We are reminded of these things. But yet, say a few months down the road, what's going to happen? Summer's going to happen. We're going to enjoy the outside, and we're going to start forgetting about attending, hearing God's Word, receiving the sacrament. We're going to start spiritually fasting. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, I've heard it all before. Well, I have to ask you, how many times have you had the same meal before at home? I don't know how it is with you and your family, but the typical Easter meal, how many of us have ham on Easter? How many of us have lamb on Easter? How many of us have the same meal over and over again? You know, when we go to McDonald's, do we not always order the same thing that we ordered before? At least I do. I fall into that typical rut. But yet we still go on a continual basis. Why? Because we're hoping that something new is going to happen, that McDonald's will change its menu. We're hoping that a new type of food will be invented or a new type of vegetable will be grown. No, we come on a regular basis because we need it. Our stomachs crave it. We get that little rumbly in our tumbly, as Winnie the Pooh would kind of say. We need what nourishes us. So the next time we think that we've heard all the passages of Scripture, which I haven't even heard, or we've heard the same sermon over and over again, we still come because we haven't heard the same thing over and over again. There's always something a little bit new. But we come, most importantly, to be fed by God's Word, to be fed with His body and blood. Why? Because we need it. We sort of have the rumbly and tumblies in our soul, where we desire to commune with Christ Himself. It is His body that saves. It is His body that nourishes us. It is in Him we have life. We come and we be fed. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.